I want to talk to you this morning, and the title of my message is, You Don't Know Boo. Just being silly. Anyway, I want to start with a question that I've been asked many times over the years. Many times over the years I've been asked this question, and I've been pastoring now for 40 years plus. I started pastoring when I was 24 years old. And so I've been at this a little while. By the way, just let me say this too. This is not in my notes, but I saw a report the other day. And I want to give the people who are closer to my age a little bit of encouragement and hope. Okay? They came out with a new report. The New England Journal of Medicine published this report. When do you think the most productive time of your life is? What decade of your life? 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, or 70s? It's the 60s. And they base that on the fact that, you know, more books are written by people in their 60s and more Nobel Prizes are won by people in their 60s. More CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are in their 60s. And they took the top 100 churches in America, the biggest churches in America, and the average age of the pastor was 71. I'm below average. There you go. But you knew that already. That's true. So, just so you'll know.
I'm sorry, I can't do this.
You can't do what? Oh. Well, thank you, baby. I don't know how that got turned up, but thank you for fixing it. My wife was like, fix that thing. Anyway, yeah, so the thing is, you know, I'm in the midst of my most productive decade of my life. And you know when the second most productive is? 70 to 80. Yeah, and they say it's because you become more productive because you narrow the scope of things that you actually want to accomplish and you focus in with experience on what you want to accomplish. So what I'd like to say is, I think that some of you older folks in our church, you know, I'm going to tell you this. I think the way that Americans approach retirement is actually just a way of talking people out of doing something great in their most productive period of their life. Think about it. If you decide you're just going to ride off into the sunset when you're just now becoming the most productive person you can be, that's a thought to consider. So maybe it's time to say, take on something new. So anyway, I've been pastoring for 40 years, and I've been asked this question many, many times. And here's the question. Should Christians celebrate on October 31st? And today is October 31st. So I thought this would be an appropriate time to talk about this little subject. And so here's my answer. Are you ready? Absolutely. Celebrate on the 31st. Now, some of you are looking at me like, okay, what's he up to this time? Because you all know that I like to dig holes for myself, right? I like to say something a little controversial or something that requires you to think, and then you have to listen. And part of the reason that speakers do this is because it makes what we say more memorable. If you heard me say that we're supposed to celebrate on October 31st and you've got ideas about that that are contrary to that, now you're trying to figure out, where is he going with this time? And see, you'll remember it better. At least that's the plan. Romans chapter 14. Let's turn there. We were there just a little while ago. We're going to look at one verse, Romans chapter 14 and verse 5. And I'm going to take you to the scripture and we'll see what the scripture says. While some of you are turning, I want to remind you, don't forget to turn your clocks back next week. Yeah, I'm going to turn my clock back to when I was 20. That's what I want to do right there. I'm going to turn it way back. I won't be productive then, that's true. That would be a mistake. All right, I won't do that. So, here's what it says. One person esteems one. Did I tell you verse 5? If it didn't, 14, verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. So let each be fully convinced in his own mind. A good word. You know what? I forgot that I was going to do this. But I'll warn the people in the sound booth. I'm going to go get my guitar. Is that okay if I do that? Now, you guys might want to, there's probably no way to, because Matt's not right there at the second. He had to go fix something probably. So Matt's coming back in the room. I'm going to go up. Oh, okay. Are we even on? Oh, okay. Well, I just thought maybe you'd want to move the camera so that it wouldn't look like I was wandering around. No, I just I thought maybe we had the wide shot. All right, they saw something. I hate for people out in TV, you're all seeing something, but they're not. I don't know that we even need much of a, oh, now I forgot a pick. Well, golly. I have no idea how well I'm going to play this song, but I'm going to play you a song that I wrote when I was a kid. Right here? Yeah. I wrote this when I was a kid, and I remember writing it on my way. I was driving to Kroger one day. Well, I had Sunday every day last week, and it's been building up my spiritual physique. Now inside my spirit man's at his peak, and he's growing great and growing strong and sleek. So if you're tired of feeling run down and weak, and you'd like to stomp on that old evil freak, well, you know who to call on, you know whose name to speak. Start having Sunday every day of the week. Just call on Jesus, 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 Jesus. When you call on Jesus, 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 every day of the week. Well, I believe that every day's the same, but there are folks that do not make that claim. Vain tradition seems to be their aim, and so my freedom in Christ they kill and maim. But if you got to remember the words. But if you want to esteem special days, well, that's your choice. That's what the Bible says. Yes, it does. But that's not how I do it. Those just ain't my ways. 'Cause every day for me's a day of praise. Just praising Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Sing with me. Jesus. The words are hard. Jesus, 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 every day of the week. Man, I haven't done that in at least 30 years. Now I know how my collar got turned up too, by the way. I fix it that time, honey. So here's the thing. If you understood the sentiment of that song and understood my lyrics at all, I kind of messed them up. But like I said, I haven't sung it in forever. And I got busy this morning, didn't practice it when I got here. You understand that I kind of, when it comes to holidays, I don't want to say I tolerate them more than I celebrate them, but I don't look at them the way everybody else does. Because I'm convinced in my own mind that every day is special. I got that from reading Romans when I was a very young man. I'm convinced that every day is a special day, that God didn't make a bad day. I don't hate the holidays, but I do see every day as the day that the Lord hath made. And you've heard me say that over and over and over again. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Or we will rejoice. I think we all should do that. I don't think I'm alone in the way I feel about this, though. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote something that I found kind of interesting. In Galatians chapter 4 and verses 9 through 11, we read, "But now, after you have known God," or rather are known by God, that right by itself will preach right there, but I don't want to get stuck there. "How is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain." Now, the issue actually here, I don't want to make this sound like it's something that it's not. The issue here was that there was a group of people called the Judaizers. The Judaizers, by the way, reminded me a lot of what I would call the elites of the day in which we live. Have you noticed there's a bunch of people who think they're smarter than you? The Judaizers were actually, for the most part, the people who were smarter than all the Jewish people when the Jewish people didn't know Christ. And as the Jewish people began to know Christ, then the Judaizers were out of a job because the Christians weren't paying as much attention to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and some of that ruling class that had been the elites of their day. So the Judaizers decided that it was their job to make sure that all the Christians followed the law of Moses. And they went around and began to go to Christian congregations, even Christian congregations who were filled with Gentiles, and began to tell the Gentiles, "You got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this." And Paul was going around going, "Don't do that, don't do that, you don't have to do that, don't worry about that, that's not a problem for you." And the Judaizers and Paul weren't getting along with each other. And so part of what the Judaizers were telling them to do was, you know, you have to remember this day and you have to celebrate that day and you have to, you know, and you have to set this aside. You got to fast like this and stand on your head and spit quarters and whatever you got to do to be a, you know, a good Jew. Now, Lisa and I have primarily been in ministry for pretty much all of our lives. I married her at 24 and I was a pastor. I mean, married her at 21 and I was a pastor at 24. And before I was pastor, I was in her family in the church where she grew up with her daddy, who was the pastor of the church. And I was not on staff officially, but I might as well have been. As far as my responsibilities, I had a lot of them. And so when it came to what the church had to do in the church calendar and the church schedule, I was pretty aware of the church schedule. But sometimes the church schedule for pastors takes precedent over the family schedule. And that's especially true when you live far away, like we have for most of our ministry. We don't always get to show up at family. When our kids were little, we didn't always get to show up at family on the day that was set aside, you know, the holiday. We were maybe at the church on the holiday, and then we had to find a way to make the holiday happen another day because that wasn't when we could be there. And, you know, and our family was fine with that. They were, I think, pleased that I was in ministry, and they understood what we had to do. So we learned flexibility, and that's just the way our holidays have always been. Sometimes we celebrate a holiday before the holiday, and sometimes we celebrate after the holiday. And some of you know what this is like. I will defer to the Grevy family, who has so many moving parts in their family that getting family together can be just almost insane when you've got that many brothers and sisters on both sides and stuff going on. So y'all probably don't get to celebrate everything just when you want to all the time. You have to make it work, don't you? Yeah, and the rest of us probably have done that too, to a degree. But I just wonder, do any of you have a Judaizer in your family who, if you don't show up on Christmas Day, for example, they're just going to cut you off? What's wrong with you? It's Christmas Day. Don't you know this is Christmas Day. No other day. Bless God. You better be here. Some of you are grinning at each other and laughing. You got those people, don't you? Yeah. I won't say too much more about them. Bless their hearts. So getting back to today, the question was, do I celebrate today? Do I celebrate on Halloween? Yeah, I do. But I don't necessarily celebrate the things that some people celebrate. See, I celebrate the Lord every day. So if you celebrate the Lord every day, and if every day is like the Lord's day, I know, the Scripture does talk about the Lord's day. And it talks about holidays, and it talks about a specific day of the week of rest. If I had to depend on Sunday to be my day of rest, how many of you think I would get a lot of rest? Yeah, that's kind of one of those hard things. See, the Scripture says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. They're red letters in your Bible. God wants you to have some rest, so that's why he created that in the first place. He didn't create it so he would have a day when he could say, you better be here. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want you here on our day that we gather. I do. I love seeing your faces. I love being family together. But I also recognize that we have to make every day as unto the Lord. So the 31st is just another day. It's just another day to celebrate Jesus. Whew, some of you feel better now. You probably know some of this, and maybe some of you know more about this than I do. When I was a young man, I studied this extensively, and then over the years, I've dabbled into it again and again a few times, and I found out that there's a whole lot of opinions about all this and exactly what happened, but it's something like I'm going to say to you here. But in case you didn't know, if you've looked into the history of Halloween, you know, you've seen some things connected to it, and there's lots of different people who have articles about it and what Halloween's all about. Do you know that Halloween comes from the words, a slurring of the words, All Hallows Evening? Most of you maybe knew that. Some of you maybe don't. All Hallows Evening. And the early Christians took the opportunity of the vernal equinox, which is the one that happens in the fall, and they took the opportunity of that to declare November 1st, tomorrow, All Saints Day. And so the evening before All Saints Day was All Hallows Evening. And depending on which Christian group or denomination or however you want to terminize that you belong to, there were celebrations and things that were done, fastings and different things that took place. They did it on purpose because they also knew that that some of the pagans celebrated on those days. Now, here's the thing. The celebration of those days or the recognition of those days was done by people groups all over the world, partly because the equinox. How many of you know what an equinox is? Yeah, it's a chivy, isn't it? Anyway, the equinox is when the days are of equal time with the nights. And so I forget exactly when the equinox is this year. But, you know, the way our calendar falls, it was around October 31st, and so eventually the calendar just adapted October 31st and November 1st as the days that All Hallows Evening and All Saints Day were celebrated. And, you know, they set aside that day to remember the saints. I think that's a good idea, by the way. I'm much into revivalists. I like to read about and hear about revivalists. There's a great book out there called God's Generals. If you've never read it, pretty cool. Pretty interesting book. I think we've got it in our library, in fact. There's probably a copy of it in there. We do, yes. So if you want to read that, it's worth doing. And it talks about some of the revivalists of the last century. So more up-to-date revivalists, but almost all the saints were people who were revivalists. Almost all of them had wonderful relationships with God, even if their doctrines were somewhat questionable in our minds today. I don't think anybody's got their doctrine together. You all know that. So because all these different groups did this when Christianity entered into these spaces where all these groups were already celebrating the equinox, they just started to give it they started to take back the night, if you will. Now, did you all know that the spring equinox falls around Easter? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you knew that. Okay. Did you know that Easter is actually a slurring of a word, too? Did you know that? All Hallows Evening was a slur of or Halloween is a slur of All Hallows' Eve, and Easter is a slurring of the word Astarte. Yeah, Astarte. Astarte, who was a Greek goddess, the goddess of fertility, who was also worshipped by the Romans. So the word Halloween actually comes from Christian terminology, and the word Easter actually comes from pagan terminology. Whoops. That's confusing. I did not read Easter in my King James Version Bible. You did. You did. Acts chapter 12 and verse 4 in the King James Version translates the word Pesach, I think is... It's the word, I'm not sure I've got that quite pronounced right. It's the word for Passover, and it translates to Easter. And the reason the King James translators did that was because it wasn't a matter of doctrine. The sentence that it's in says this took place about the time of Easter. And since the people of 1600 England wouldn't have known when Passover was, but they knew when Easter was, they would have known it was in the spring, so they just translated Easter just to make sure that the people understood this took place in the spring. They do that sometimes with translations. They try to change them a little bit to make it easier for us to understand. Gee, we haven't seen that in the time that we live in. How many translations are there out there now? Wow. So, anyway, that's the way that... By the way, if you're a King James-only person, just so you'll know, that's a perfect spot where we can give you an example of... You know, King James only is not the only one with everything correct, because that mistranslation is in there as well. So all the Bibles that we have translated into our language, unless you learn to read Hebrew and Greek, are going to be a little affected by the translators trying to communicate something that isn't always easy to translate from one language to another. Just the way it works. Don't worry about it. You're good. You got Jesus. He'll help you with what you need to know. That's why we have the Spirit. So there's a whole lot of, if you will, heathen worship and Christian worship that has been mixed up over the years. It happens. Our purpose as believers is to bring redemption to everything that needs redeemed in the world. And that idea of redeeming is to bring everything back into relationship with the Father. That makes sense? That's what we're after. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 through 22 says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law." And then in parentheses says, "Not being without the law toward God, but under the law toward Christ," end of parentheses, "that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." What Paul said was, I'm doing things that culturally people can connect to, so when I get into their culture, I don't have them pushing me away before they even give me a chance. So sometimes we change the way we dress when we're in a certain culture to reach that culture. Sometimes we change the way we adorn ourselves. Maybe we change. When I went to the culture in Lisa's daddy's church, I was wearing bib overalls with Alpha and Omega on them, you know, Jesus t-shirt and tennis shoes with no socks, and my hair was on my shoulders. I started putting on a suit, trimmed my hair up a little bit because I wanted to connect with the culture, the hillbilly culture. Got some Kurt's back there going, "Amen, brother. I relate." You know, so we try to adapt ourselves a little bit, that by some chance we might be effective for the kingdom. Paul also said in Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil." Circumspectly. How many of you used circumspectly in your conversation in the last week or two? You were talking to somebody and you used that term, circumspectly. Yeah. How many of you have never used circumspectly probably in your entire life? Okay, there we go. Most of us. Yeah, that's one of those. So let me read it again in another version. So be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom, for we are living in evil times. I know I say all the time, this is the day that the Lord has made. And then at the same time, you know, the scripture says there are evil days. It did in that New King James Version with circumspectly. Actually, I started looking at those words carefully, and evil times is a better translation because, you know, there are moments in time or there are times when things are going on that you kind of look and you go, that's not very good. But it doesn't make the day bad because this is the day that the Lord hath made. We find the good in each day, even though the times can be kind of confusing or not so good, can be lacking. The thing that I want us to be careful of is that God made every day, and we want to be careful that we don't get taken advantage of in any day by the devil. That's what we're out to accomplish. That we don't give that opportunity to the devil. And we want to help people who are being affected by whatever negativity is going on by helping them get out of that. And that's why we're in the redemption business. Back to that. God paying a price for us, we being returned to God, we helping other people come back to God. It's that relationship thing. The redemption idea is the idea of getting back that which was lost. And so that's why Paul became all things to all men, that he might redeem some, get back that which was stolen. So let me be clear again about this thing of the 31st of October. It is not, listen to me carefully, the 31st of October is not the devil's day. Okay? I hear some Christians say that sometimes, and it kind of bugs me when they do. I get a twitch. And if it is the devil's day, you gave it to him, and I refuse to. The devil can't have a day unless we give it to him. And if we don't give it to him, then he doesn't have it. Just last week, some of you remember, I read the entire first chapter of the book of Genesis. And when I did that, we talked about, you know, God said, God said, God said, and all the places God said. God was the one who said, let there be light. God said, let there be a sun and, you know, moon. And all the things that God set the earth into motion the way we are experiencing it. God said, that's why we have days where there are equal nights and equal days. Because God set that into motion and made it happen. So when he created that, and I don't remember anywhere in that whole chapter where he said, and I will set aside this day, and then there's the 31st, that's the devil's day. He didn't say that anywhere. So let's not give it to the devil. So let me ask you this question. Let's have a little fun here. How many of you have a birthday? Yeah, a few of you were hatched out of eggs, but the rest of you, you know, you got a birthday. How many of you know when your birthday is? Yeah, most of you can still remember that. Okay. My wife's birthday is in February. My daughter's birthday is in July. Who's got a birthday in October? There you go. Several people, right? Who's got a birthday coming up in November? Okay, look at that. People have November birthdays. All right, good. That's good to know. How many of you know that knowing your birthday and knowing the monthly designation of your birthday, when I said those dates, that all those things are connected to the Roman calendar? Are you aware of that? Do you know that the Roman calendar was based on pagan religion? It is. And did you know that there's a Jewish calendar? Yeah. Today, on the Jewish calendar, is the 25th of Heshvan. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah. And it's the year 5782. On the Jewish calendar. This year, by the way, my birthday falls on the 10th of Adar 1. It's in February. It's February 11th. Hint, hint. But anyway, Adar 1. That's because there's an Adar 1 and an Adar 2, and I don't think I'm going to take the time to try to explain it to you because I don't understand it anyway. But last year, by the way, my birthday was not the 10th of Adar 1. It was the 16th of Sivat. And you're like, well, wait a minute. How can your birthday be the 10th of Adar this year and the 16th of Sivat last year? Yeah, that's the Jewish calendar. That's why I don't want to have to explain it to you. I'll read you this little clip that I got out of an explanation of it. The Jewish calendar, unlike the civil Gregorian calendar, is based both on cycles of the moon as well as the sun. The months correspond to cycles of the moon, and the years correspond to the cycles of the sun. Since the lunar month was about 29 and a half days, Jewish months always have either 29 or 30 days. The problem is that 12 lunar months is 10 and a half days short of the 365 solar year. 365 days solar year. That didn't mean a thing to most of us. We're still going, whew. What it means is, it means that the way time is being figured by the Jewish calendar is completely different than the way time is being figured by the Gregorian calendar. But we all participate in that heathen calendar. So people who say, well, I'm not going to participate and I don't want to be near anything that, well, you're going to find yourself participating and being in things unless you can start living by the Jewish calendar. And that's a job, I'm going to tell you right now, especially when you sign checks and you have contracts and things that you have to do. And it doesn't make you evil because you participate in something that came from something that wasn't necessarily godly. Understand? Yeah, just wanted people to be free of that. On a side note, by the way, do you remember back in 1999 when we were about to hit the year 2000 and there were some people who were like, oh, Jesus is coming and then we're going to hit the year 2000 and it'll be the 1,000-year reign of Christ, because they thought that 2000 was 2000 after Christ, and they thought that there was 4,000 years before Christ and 2,000 years to Christ. Therefore, the year 2000 was going to be the beginning of the seventh 1,000-year period, and that would be the millennium, and that would be the, and that's when, so Jesus had to come back by the end of 1999. By the way, do you remember the churches? Some of us got together and put out little signs saying, it's time. And we preached out of Hosea. On the subject, it's time. We weren't preaching that the Lord's return was coming. We were preaching it's time to start thinking about getting ourselves together as Christians and serving. And by the way, just a little hint, there's some stuff going on right now in our community with some of the churches. And I said out loud in the meeting the other day, it's time. And they knew what I meant. So we may have some stuff coming up at the beginning of this new year that the churches are going to try to do some things together. Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Like each church doing the same thing that the other churches are doing while they're doing it? Like all the Christians in town maybe doing something special together in January of this coming year? I'll let you know more as I know more. By the way, I don't know exactly when everything is going to happen, but what I do know is that if Jesus does return after 6,000 years of history, if he decides to return after 6,000 years of history to put a seventh 1,000-year period on it, it won't be happening for 218 years, according to the Hebrew calendar. Just food for thought. I'm not making a prediction. I'm not making a prediction. So, back to the subject at hand. What are we supposed to do with Halloween? Well, I think the answer is to look for a way to honor God and be wise in the day that we're in, just like every other day. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 says, give no place to the devil. I'm not going to give the devil a place. And I'm going to honor every day, and I'm going to celebrate every day. And in my opinion, the Christian who thinks that Halloween's the devil's day doesn't know boo. So here's the encouragement from today's message, just to help us all. Don't get caught up in sin or the sin that a culture produces. You don't have to participate in the sinful acts of a culture. But do work within a culture to shine the light of God's love. Be the one who shines your light. Be the one who shows your love. No matter what is going on around you and how much people are missing it, just keep your eyes on Jesus and let him shine out of you every single day. Amen? Amen. So, Father, help us to keep our attitudes, our hearts and minds adjusted with our eyes on you and our trust in you. The things we don't understand, Lord, give us wisdom for. The things we do understand, Lord, if they're not of you, help us to avoid them. Keep them out of what you want to do in us, and to live lives before you that are pure and that aren't letting anything hinder the light that comes from us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.